everybody. Welcome to the Will Podcast. My name is Brian, and I'm the tech leader here. I'm here to bring you another episode of Encounter Live. Encounter Live is an opportunity for us to bring real people on so they can share real stories and we can have an open discussion with them on how God is working in their lives. We talk about topics ranging from race to COVID-19 to mental health and education and so much more. This week, we invited Crystal Kluwein, an ER nurse who happens to be in our congregation. As you can imagine, she's been on the front lines in the battle against the COVID-19 pandemic. She shares valuable insight on how the pandemic has affected her walk with Christ, her personally, as well as her family. Remember, you can find episodes of Encounter Live every week on our YouTube channel. We air them live at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And also be sure to check out the rest of our channel, where we also air our services online every Sunday at 10 a.m. And remember, you are loved.
Today, we have Crystal Kluwein. Did I get it right, or Kluwein?
Kluwein.
Kluwein. I'm going to get it one of these days.
One of these days.
I promise. Mm-hmm. But you are a registered nurse.
Yes.
And from the beginning of the pandemic, you have begun to see COVID patients.
Yes.
So we're excited to hear your story. Obviously, we never thought in March that we would be here in August,
no.
Still experiencing this to this degree. At the same time, you have an incredible family.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband serves on our council. Mm-hmm. Mason, your son, is one of our main camera guys here
yeah.
at the Well, and one of our youth, and just we're super thankful for you. So thank you for hanging out.
Oh, thanks.
We've been talking already here for like the past half hour, mm-hmm. But I'm excited for everyone else to hear what God's doing in your life
mm-hmm.
and how you're kind of encountering, because you're seeing the worst of the worst
mm-hmm.
And the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You ready?
I guess.
Well, we have a couple of questions, and we'll be getting questions here soon. And so what is, in your hospital, have you seen COVID patients, and what kind of has been the extremes in the hospital that you work at?
So we have COVID patients at the hospital where I work. I work in the emergency department. I've seen COVID patients at work, and then I was also in school during this time.
Okay.
So I was completing my nurse practitioner program. So I was also in the ICU at another facility nearby the hospital where I work.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of all this, I had to stop clinicals because we were kicked out because they didn't know and there wasn't enough supplies. So I stopped seeing COVID patients in the ICU setting.
Mm-hmm.
I did see some people in urgent care setting, and then I actually was able to go back and see them in the ICU setting again. So extremes, I guess, in the emergency room, we see people with mild symptoms or, you know, asymptomatic who are concerned because they've had contact with people who are positive or contact with someone who's had contact with someone else that's positive that want to come in and be tested. So unfortunately, you know, the ER is not the right place for that. So sometimes we have to say, you know, if you're symptomatic or things are going on, then, you know, we can test you, but it's not going to be a quick test.
Yeah.
You're going to wait a little while. And then on the other extreme,
it was really nerve-rattling the first couple of times that I saw the very, very sick people.
Yeah.
So I've seen really young people,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen, like, older patients where they are struggling to breathe,
mm-hmm.
And they require intubation,
yeah.
And they need to be transferred up to the ICU. I've also seen, like, other, like, symptoms, not just, like, the respiratory, but just other metabolic symptoms where people are really, really sick and they need to go on dialysis and they need all kinds of things because they can not only go into respiratory failure, but it's a multi-system failure. And so it's not just as straightforward as, oh, I'll be on a ventilator and then I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's once one thing starts failing, then, you know, because God created us, you know, to everything interconnects and works together. And so when it starts failing, it kind of interconnects and fails together sometimes, unfortunately. So,
yeah, I remember it was kind of a sobering effect for me because I remember you text me kind of March or April and you
mm-hmm.
said, just pray. We have 30-year-olds on ventilators.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time where everyone's just saying, no, it's just affecting our older generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You know, if you're healthy and young, you're good. And you were just like, we need to pray.
Oh. Yeah, I remember at that time was when they were saying, oh, 65 and older, 65 and older. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I don't think it's 65 and older because, yes, we did have a lot of our older residents that live in care homes around the hospital where I work. They did end up coming in, but at the very beginning was somebody affiliated with our hospital that was, I believe she was in her 40s or 50s, which is not old. No. And she ended up requiring, you know, further treatment and intubation and everything like that, obviously because of privacy, you know, I can't say. But like the youngest person that I saw was a person that had been tested at another facility, came back positive, and they were sent home, just kind of like how we've done before to some people when they're just mild symptoms. But they told them, like we tell everybody, if you start having shortness of breath or something's different, come back or go to your nearest ER. And so that's what he did. He came to our ER and he couldn't even get out of the car. So we went over with the wheelchair because right in front of our ER, you can't park there anymore because of all the equipment. Yeah. So we went over with the wheelchair and got him. And I was like, he just doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. So we put him into one of our main rooms right away. And the doctor saw him and was like, yeah, no. We have to intubate him. And I remember we were telling him, we're going to intubate you. You're not going to be able to talk. You know, you're going to be asleep. I don't know when you're going to be back to talking. Do you want to call your mom or your girlfriend or who do you want to call so you can tell them that this is happening? He's just struggling at that time. And he's like, okay, you know, and I think he was texting. Yeah. I think it was his girlfriend that dropped him off. Okay. And so I remember... he was trying to get a hold of his mom or something, and he couldn't. Maybe she didn't answer. So our doc had to call or talk to her because by the time she called back, he was already intubated, you know? So that's, it's scary to see people that are your age, you know, getting really sick.
Yeah. It's scary and it's real. Like it's something that you see on TV or you hear about it, but no, this is real life. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. We were not shut down and wearing masks for nothing.
Yeah.
There's genuine things and lives are being affected.
Yeah. And I think, like to your point about like, oh, it's not nothing. A lot of times I think we don't think about what is happening because it's not happening to us. Yeah. It's not happening to me. It's not happening to my significant other. It's not happening to my child, not my mom. Oh, I don't even know anybody who's gotten coronavirus, right? Like, I've heard that several times. Yeah. Do you even know anybody who's gotten coronavirus? Yeah. Like, I think this is, I don't believe the numbers. This is all a hoax. And I'm like, okay, maybe you don't know anybody, but like, I've taken care of those people and my coworkers have taken care of those people. And there's somebody to their loved ones. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just because it's not happening to me personally doesn't mean that it's not affecting somebody else, you know?
And I think we can get stuck in that mindset of, oh, it'll never happen to me. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, it won't affect me anyway. And it does, like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And we can't use ignorance as an excuse to take the hold of that social responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Just like, you know, with everything, nobody sees the car that's coming down the road, you know, to change your life forever.
Yep.
This one we can kind of see. We don't see, we don't know that it's going to happen, but we can kind of see and we can kind of take some measures to try to help your neighbor, care for your neighbor, love your neighbor by just wearing a mask, staying out of where you don't need to be.
I would love is there's sober measures that we can do. They're not, it's not craziness. No one's asking you to walk on a ceiling.
Yeah.
Is just do simple things. I want to share a couple pictures
that
your husband actually sent me. So we're going to put those up there just to kind of see the process of what it looks like for you. So if you want to throw those up there, So can you tell us a little bit about this one?
So that's me and my coworker, Gordon. We were the tent nurses that day. So that little tent back there is where we see the COVID rule out patients or the COVID positive patients. If it's just a quick, like, medicate and go, or if we need to test them or anything like that. He's holding the little bucket where we put the tests so that they can go up to the lab and stuff. So we had to make, like, a little makeshift ER kind of outside.
Kind of looks like MASH.
Like the show a little MASH.
Yeah.
Crazy emergency medicine.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we're wearing all our gear because we're outside swabbing patients.
Yeah.
So, little, yeah. And then there, we're doing a training on how to wear our Tyvek suits and the PAPRs. So, we usually wear N95s when we're doing aerosolizing procedures. Uh-huh. But when they're intubating patients, we try to be a little bit more cautious. So, the Tyvek suits and the PAPRs, to help us prevent, you know, because you aerosolize everything when you're in there intubating a patient. And those are pretty hot. The couple times I had to wear them, I had to change my scrubs after
because
it's
sure.
so hot.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've got one more. Yep.
Oh, that's me in the tent again. probably in between patients, I was, Tyler would text me or something. And I would send a text back like, I'm okay. I think it was, he was a little bit nervous,
yeah,
especially at the beginning because it was so unknown. So
how have you balanced that? Because you're at work working with people that, you know, are sick and this virus can spread, is spreading. How is that coming home?
So we talked about it. I remember at the beginning, a lot of people were kind of going on social media, doctors and nurses and PAs and NPs that worked in the hospital, and they were like, well, do I stay away from my family or what do I do? And some really awesome hotels were, and I think Airbnb and stuff, were offering to put healthcare providers up and say, like, you can stay here so you can stay away from your family. But Tyler and I talked about it, and he was like, I don't think that that's, like, something that we can do, especially because we have three kids. And at the beginning of this, you got to remember it was like March. And so they're still in school. Yeah. They're like moving to virtual school and he still has to work. And so it just wasn't feasible. So we just kind of said, okay, well, I'm going to wear all the stuff that I need to wear when I'm at work and be as careful as possible. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to, you know, drive home and change in the garage, you know, Lysol wipe my seat and my drive, like my steering wheel and everything else. And then I'm going to go straight up into the shower, which I mean, I always do anyway, but you know, just a little bit more cautious. And then, before I say hi to anybody, you know, and then we right away, we're like, yeah, we can't be around other people because what if I have it?
Yeah.
And then we go and hang out with somebody and they get sick or what if I have it and the kids are like asymptomatic carriers and they go and give it to somebody. Yeah. Like I could never like reconcile that, be okay with that if I knew that because we just had to hang out with somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I have a question. I want to check over here.
Mm-hmm.
We just got some comments. We got some great insight here. Just this person, Melissa, so I think this is a good conversation to acknowledge COVID-19 and to keep mask on all times with you and sanitize hands and wash hands constantly. So that's always a good thing to keep continuing. That's really what we got to do.
Yeah.
But kind of what you're saying right now kind of brought up a question for me, and it's not on the question that I gave you. Have you found there's a stigma? Because you're a nurse, do people tend to, like, just not invite you, like if they're going to hang out, or kind of like, or are they checking in on you more, or is it positive or negative, or do you feel like people kind of treat you like lepers, like, oh, I don't want to get around you?
So for me personally, a lot of people, like especially people from the church, like Alicia, she was texting me and saying like, hey, how are you? Are you hanging in there? Christy, Aaron, a bunch of the ladies were texting and saying, hey, how are you, and you know, hanging in there and everything like that. And then, I mean, my personal experience hasn't been like any stigma or anything, but I know from like some of my coworkers, they've had trouble. One of my coworkers needed an eye exam because like she couldn't see with her glasses anymore and they wouldn't see her because she's a nurse. I have friends who are experiencing that where their kids wouldn't be seen at the pediatrician's office because they know that they're an ER nurse and that they're probably around COVID patients. Just different things like that. And I think it was hard on them. But I mean, I don't go out in public in my scrubs, you know. It's not something that I do. It's not something that I used to do. Like I never would go out in public with my scrubs, even if I'm on my way into work.
Yeah.
So people don't really know that I'm a nurse, you know, so I don't feel like the general public treats me any differently. Yeah. I've just gotten support from like the people in the church and my friends. One of my best friends, Brenda, she was also like texting me and saying, hey, how are you okay? Everything okay? And things like that. So, I mean, generally it's been good.
Yeah.
Good support and everything like that. But I mean, I think other people's experiences might be different, you know?
Yeah.
And I know for sure, like my coworkers, we were kind of just rallied around each other because we were like, we're the ones that know what this feels like and we are the ones that know what we're seeing.
Yeah, you got that
you
shared
know?
Experience too.
So, yeah. Wow. We kind of rallied around each other. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I personally experienced any stigma or anything.
That's good. How have you either struggled with or been encouraged by the way that you've seen God move through all this?
I told you, I was like, oh, that could be the whole thing when you sent me that question. But definitely, I think I've struggled with, we always say here, right, that people are God's favorite. So I think I've struggled with, like, the people that have opposing views and things like that, because I'm like, I just feel like it's willful ignorance or it's just wanting to take a stance that's like polarizing, or I'm not sure why people choose to make the comments or the decisions that they make when they're like aggressive about being anti-masking and things like that. It's hard not to take it personally. Like I've had conversations with like some of my coworkers or some of my friends that work in like ICU and see the sickest of the sick, right? The people that need to be proned and have all these drips and have all this, you know, things going on. And it's like, it's hard to not take it personally because we're still people.
Yeah.
Like we're there, we're helping and it's our job and it's our calling. But if you can do something so small to prevent somebody else from getting sick, maybe you yourself, because people always say like, well, you guys have to wear N95s to stop the virus, so it's not going to stop the virus. Yeah, but like it contains your own if you have it, and that's how we're going to stop the spread, right? So it's hard. I've struggled with that. I'm like, God, some of your favorites are kind of dumb, you know? So I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
just being honest, you know? And so it's hard. It's definitely, that has been my main struggle, is just seeing like people's reaction to it. And then like being encouraged. I mean, I have a playlist, especially that I used to play at the beginning when things were like really crazy. And I knew that I was going to be in like the COVID rooms because we have certain rooms that have doors that we can close. And I was like, oh gosh, I know I'm going to be, you know, there. And I would play that, you know, play the playlist and like Rescue Me from Lauren Daigle and like Cover the Earth, Carrie Jobe or something like that. What's her name?
Yeah,
that one, you know, and stuff like that. And like, just pretty much clinging to like scriptures, like Psalm 91, you know, and stuff like that. Just believing that, you know what, I'm taking every step that I can to not get sick, to not get my family sick. Because that's the main worry, right? Like that's everybody's main worry, is like, I don't want to get sick. And then what happens if I get permanently disabled? Because we don't know, like maybe I won't die, but maybe I'll end up ventilator dependent or needing a lung transplant or something, you know? Or what if I get one of my kids sick? What if they get somebody else sick? Like it's just, it's too much. So for me, just knowing that I was doing everything humanly possible, and then comes God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, I was raised to just, like, trust in God. Like, do your part, but trust in God.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's an important element, because I know a big criticism I get as a pastor with reopening or opening the church or, you know, do we have in-person gatherings or not in-person gatherings? Do we walk, you're walking that line of fear and faith. Mm-hmm. Like, are we operating out of fear, or are we operating out of faith? And sometimes when we operate out of fear, we can really do dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
But when we operate out of faith, we can really do dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, God tells, like, I never asked you to walk out on faith in this area. Mm-hmm. So where, I know where I've kind of stood is you utilize wisdom. Mm-hmm. God gives us faith, but he also gives us wisdom. Mm-hmm. And there are moments where he does ask us to take that leap. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's ever to do that to sacrifice people's lives.
Right. I mean, I agree. And so I think just every person wants to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And so I've seen, like, I mean, social media is amazing. So there's, like, people that are really, like, condemning other people for, they say, walking in fear, and God has not given us the spirit of fear and things like that. And I'm like, well, I'm not afraid in, like, a fearful sense where I just don't believe that God's got me.
Yeah.
You know? But I do believe that he wants you to utilize wisdom and the tools that he's given us. I mean, if I had, you know, an illness that there's a medication for, I'm not going to say, well, God's going to heal me. And God's going to heal me maybe by giving somebody the wisdom to have discovered that medication and giving my doctor the wisdom to diagnose me and find that medication that would be for me, you know? So it's not just about walking blindly by faith and just, you know, doing whatever sounds cool in the faith world only, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's how people can get really turned off by Christianity or walk away from the church because they're like, well, that is crazy to me.
Yep.
Like, you're going to tell me that I shouldn't do something that could possibly save me or my family because I should walk blindly by faith. And if I don't, then I'm like a heretic.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be careful to not be polarizing in either direction.
Exactly.
You know, and you have to be careful to walk in the wisdom that God has given people smarter than me, you know, to share with me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and that's where we have to be willing to take a step back. God is very spiritual, and spiritual is very practical at the same time. There's just some things that we need to listen to and obey and heed. Mm-hmm. Just like, I'm going to wear a seatbelt, but I'm also glad my car has airbags, steel reinforced doors, so that I can be protected. And that's just a good stewardship of that. And in church world and even in medical field, your most precious resource, not only to God, but in our profession, is people.
Yeah.
And we want to care for them well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've got a few things here in the chat, so I want to read, see if I can find some questions here. Are they testing hospital staff on a regular basis? On your experience, I know you're not speaking for the nation here.
No.
but have you seen that happen?
Not us personally, like not my hospital. A lot of hospitals that because I'm part of a healthcare workers group that is caring for COVID nationwide. And I haven't seen anybody say, like, oh, we get tested regularly.
Okay.
I know that one of my cousins, she works for a skilled nursing facility or an LTAC, I'm not sure. And they get tested regularly. I think they get tested, like, every 2 weeks. But in adhering to the new CDC guidelines, they have, like, you have to be asymptomatic for 24 hours, and you have to have, like, 10 days from the onset of symptoms to come back to work. And so, like, if you do have any symptom and you get tested and you're positive, they have CDC guidelines to come back. But they don't, I think, routinely screen. But, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't work for every hospital, you know, system in the nation. So, I mean, and that's been, I think, one of the challenges as well for not just me, but, you know, other people is where we were talking about it. It's like, this is a sick joke that it's allergy season and COVID at the same time because you're like, my throat is kind of itchy and my eyes are watering and my nose is running. Do I have Corona or do I have allergies?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and there's people that have like other health problems that they might feel out of breath because of that health problem. And it's not COVID and, you know, or they think, oh, it's just my health problem. And then it actually is COVID. And so we have had like, some coworkers exposed because somebody wasn't sure or didn't know and they came to work and then turns out that they do have it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I liked it before we went live. We were having a conversation because when I hear about the testing, and of course social media is the trash can fire that it is I only COVID test I've heard is when they stick the stick all the way up to your like brain.
Yes.
And then like move it all around. And that does not sound good to me in any way, shape, or form.
Moves it all around.
I don't know, but yeah. But that for me, that would go, well, I don't want to get tested.
Yeah.
So you helped me a little bit, and you explained to me. So can you tell everyone watching, like, if they feel either uneasy or they feel like they have symptoms, where can they get tested, and what actually happens?
So there's three types of tests, actually. So it depends on where you go.
Yeah.
So I guess you can call ahead. I don't know.
Okay.
Probably don't, because
don't want the
we're already overwhelmed.
But, yeah.
There's the nasopharyngeal, so that's the one that you're talking about where it goes all the way back.
Yeah.
We don't swirl it around crazy, but it just has to stay there for a little bit. We might twist it. There's the oropharyngeal where it's like the throat swab.
Okay.
So that one, if you've ever had like
a strep throat, yeah.
It's the same. It's the same type of thing. And then there's the nasal swab. So where you kind of swab the nostril and then the other one.
Okay.
So both nostrils usually. And those tests, if you're very symptomatic, you feel like you have like chest pain or shortness of breath or something is just not quite right and you're kind of concerned, then definitely go to your nearest emergency room and you can tell them your symptoms. And then it's up to the providers that are there to say like, yeah, you know what, you might have COVID, so let's test you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you were exposed to somebody who might have been exposed or whatever, urgent care centers are a good resource. And then your primary care doctor, you can call them in and you can have a telemedicine appointment. That's been kind of a new and upcoming thing where they have telemedicine appointments and they can send you to one of the labs. They should know by now which labs run the tests and things like that. Or look up on like the county website or the city website and see where there's like free drive-through testing.
Okay.
The nearest one here that I know of, and I learned about it on our Facebook page on like the Cerritos Facebook page or whatever, is the one right there on the corner of Pioneer and Artesia, the Walgreens.
Yep.
And you just come in on the Pioneer side and there's signs and it tells you what to do and you stop and you show your ID and you show if you have insurance, you can show your insurance card. Otherwise, it's like state covered.
Okay.
And then they just take you step by step. You stop at the next one and they fill everything out and confirm that you are who you are. And then you go to the next one and then they kind of walk you step by step. You do this, you do that, open this package, close it, you know, everything is up. Keep your window closed. So, yeah.
No, that's good. That's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 3 minutes left. So I just want to check here. Cool. No, I think people are just getting a lot of support and a lot of like, yeah, this is good information.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you in 1 minute,
okay.
How would you encourage someone right now who's either fearful or unsure or just kind of unsure about this whole season?
I think making sure that you are surrounding yourself with truths.
Mm.
So whether it's, if it's like scary truth to you, like to keep looking at the numbers and stuff like that, then not that one, you know? But maybe the word of God, maybe put together a playlist like I did, because I'm not going to lie, I was fearful at the beginning, especially because we were hearing all the horror stories from New York and it hadn't reached the West Coast yet. And we were like, we have some, but not like that.
Yeah.
And so just doing things that you know that are going to put you in a positive mindset. If you have to take a break from social media, take a break from social media.
Yeah.
If you need to stop following certain people that are just going to agitate you or make you upset, that's okay. Like, it's not that you're unfriending them forever and you're cutting them out of your life. You could still love that person from over there.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's going to disturb your peace, that's too high of a price to pay.
I think that's important because we are not just physical beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're emotional, spiritual beings.
Right.
And so there's a lot that we can do to take care of all three aspects of, of who we are as humans.
Yeah. So, finding truth in the Word of God or in praise, worship, music.
Yeah.
Surrounding ourselves with positive friends, and just being practical.
Yeah.
Not fearful.
That's good. Thank you so much for
coming
on. You're welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, just talking. I know I benefited from it. I'm not as scared anymore of taking a test.
Just the nasal swab.
It generally concerned me.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate that. Yeah. And I appreciate you and your family. And thank you for serving on the front lines putting your life at risk so the rest of us can be safer. So I appreciate your heroism. And
yeah. No, we're not heroes. We're just people.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
I want to thank
Thank you for listening, everyone. Remember, you can find more episodes on YouTube, or you can find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts. We hope to be back with you guys later this week as we talk to Sean Hamilton live Wednesday at 6 p.m. Sean's going to be talking about education, and especially with the focus on education today in a world where you don't know where you're learning from, whether it's home, in a classroom, or somewhere else. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope to see you soon. And remember, you are loved.